morning to you. Hey, there we go. Everybody's awake. Well, thank you guys for inviting me back. People are still generous. I'm kind of jealous because Sam stole some of the stuff I was going to say when he was talking to the kids. So we're just going to skip over a couple of verses. I'm not going to be before you long, Zoom family. I just want to encourage us this morning with a few things from the Word, and then we will call it a day. I'll be preaching from Romans 12, 14 through 21. I'm reading from the ESV version. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all, if possible. So far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let us pray. Lord, help us to not only be hearers, but doers of your word this morning. Give us your grace, give us your strength, fill us with your spirit even now. And it is in your son's name that we pray. Amen. So normally when you look at Romans 12 and on, you see a lot of commands. I mean, they're just really after 12:2, you see a ton of commands, and people sometimes treat these things like checklists. And for some of you, you guys love checklists. You love to be able to figure out, okay, this is what I got to do today. Check these things off. Boom, I'm a good Christian. Some of us hate checklists because it brings an enormous amount of pressure. Well, actually, I want to give you guys a new checklist, but it's going to be a little different. So this is something you can practice maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow morning. So instead of looking at these verses and saying, okay, did I rejoice? Did I weep? Did I live in harmony? I actually want you to go back and think about why this is even in the text. So you think in light of Romans 12. Verse 1 starts out with this very key word, therefore. And if Brian has taught you guys anything, which I know he has, therefore causes you to look back to what has been said. So consider this. God has justified you. Checklist. You wake up. God has given you new life. God has loved you. He has counted you holy. He has counted you righteous. He has made you one of his sons and daughters of Abraham. He has blessed you. He has accepted you. He has reconciled you. He has filled you with his spirit. He has grafted you in to his family. You are now fully adopted, fully his for eternity. That's the checklist that you can actually wake up with every single morning. And the best thing about this checklist, family, you don't actually do a thing. This is solely an act of God that he has blessed you with. And every single morning you can wake up, even if you don't like run that list off, you just wake up and say, you know what? I am accepted by the creator of the heavens and the earth. Amen, somebody. Amen. I am loved by the one who spoke all this into existence. All I did was wake up. I haven't washed my face, brushed my teeth, etc., etc. And I wake up in Christ, seen by the holy God, and I'm counted as one of his. Now, if that's true for you, if you're one of his, then not only can you wake up with that checklist of mine, which now gives you all the joy to go forward and do whatever, even for those of us who have to stay home with kids that go to virtual school, pray for me. And my wife, you can now look at these these verses and have a little more joy as you look at them. And know that you're coming from a place where you are now accepted by God. Not only are you accepted, you are enabled to do these things. So this is not a matter of, man, I got to muster up this strength. Oh, this is a rough day. I need 12 cups of coffee. Or I need like 20, 30 minutes of silence. Maybe some of us actually you ever driven home and just like stayed in your car in the driveway for a couple of minutes? Right? And that might be helpful for your mental state, but for your spiritual state, you are no more loved this morning without having done a spiritual discipline, without, like, I got to get up and pray first thing in order to be loved by God. No, He loved you while you were sleeping. God was working while you were resting. Amen. He always does that, in fact. So we're going to see a little bit about what God's people do in light of COVID, in light of disharmony, in light of disunity, in light of just struggle, in light of hatred, in light of the election. How do we as God's people live out not only these verses, but just live out as kingdom people? Because we are that. How do we do that? Well, verse 1, we're just going to start there really, really quick and then jump down to verse 14. We're commanded here to be priests. We're commanded to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That is now something that we can do because we are in God's kingdom, right? And then the second thing is that we are commanded to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our mind. To renew something means to cause something to be different and better. So the moment that you got saved, God's been calling you to be something different, which is to be countercultural and to be better. And He's giving you His Spirit to help you do that, right? But it actually gets better than that. Because in God's kingdom, we have this thing that's really countercultural or upside down, however you describe it, where people are more important than the principle. But in America, we switch it. I mean, this is kind of how people are going to vote, right? Principle is more important than people. But in God's kingdom, He came to save people, not principle, right? So let's jump into the text. How are we to consider living in Atlanta, Georgia, in the midst of the rioting, going in the midst of people dying, in the midst of police being dishonored, in the midst of some of these crazy commercials? My kids will rattle off to me things about John Ossoff and David Perdue. And they don't even know what's going on. They don't know that they're fighting against each other. But they're watching these commercials and they just believe it at face value. So I have to, you know, educate my 7-year-old kids on politics, which sucks. But I am encouraged to tell them this. Hey, you need to bless people. Ask God to give them favor. See them as more important than the election. See people who are made in God's image worthy of asking God to bless them. I'm not talking red or blue. And I'm a Sooner fan, so I got a little red in me, right? I'm not talking Georgia or Georgia Tech. I'm talking image bearing. I'm talking the same way that you look, it's the same way other people look. We're all made in the image of God. We got to start there. That's our baseline as God's people. Then it's actually easier because you actually want them to be in the same boat that we're in to wake up tomorrow. Accepted, I'm loved, I'm His, I'm adopted, I'm justified, I'm reconciled. Not, did you vote my party? Do you cheer for my school? Do you want my kids to be all that they can be? Somebody's not going to do that, right? This is why you have rivalries. These things are important, at least to me, because my school won yesterday, our biggest rivalry. So, just saying. But bless those who persecute you. So to not take it personal, but then to return with blessing. Man, that takes humility, right? That's not easy. It's easy to read, but it's not easy to do. Bless and do not curse them. In fact, we are to rejoice with those who rejoice. So rejoice in the company of those who are happy. See people, regardless of whatever's going on, having a good time, and find a reason to rejoice with them. And then see people who are weeping with whatever's going on and weep with them. Now, here's the very interesting thing about these two verses. Bless those who persecute you is very much a personal thing. There is no sense of only rejoice with those who are Christians. Only rejoice with those who are in your tribe. I'm going to say this. This might be dangerous. I might not get invited back again. But, you know, God is saving people. He's not just saving Presbyterians. God is saving Baptists who don't know how to baptize. Anyway, God is saving Anglicans. He is saving non-denominational. He's saving Church of Christ. He's just saving people. He has one big kingdom, and we are just an expression of it. So we're not looking at this as tribal or whose team are you on or can I identify with you. You identify with everybody in this world already because you're made in his image. That's primary. Then, he says, to live in harmony with one another. How hard has that been this year? We got masks. I was just talking to my buddy Garen. We can't wait to get the all clear, knowing that everyone's going to be healthy, to take our mask off and hang out, burn some masks even. I suggest like an apple cobbler and ice cream, if y'all want to invite me back for that. It's one thing to be unselfish in your heart, and then another thing to live in harmony with someone, which is to consider this. You actually want what you want for yourself to be given to somebody else. You would want what you want for yourself to be given to somebody else if you're in their shoes. That's what it means to live in harmony with somebody. That's not this kumbaya, let's hold hands and sing whatever song we want to sing together. It's in the sense that, okay, if God's blessing me, if I want to get this thing, I actually want you to get it if you were me. We can share it, or you can just get it instead of me. We think about, who does this resemble? Is it Peter? Is it Paul? Or is it Jesus? Is Jesus not giving when he can be just taking? Did he not come to be served rather than to be just, I'm going to consume everything? He's the Son of God. We just read about it. He's God with us, God in the flesh. And he came to humble himself and not consume everything and take everything with him back to the heavens. So you live in harmony with one another. Don't be arrogant. Consider what it means to be a people of reciprocity. And then associate with the lowly. Now, this might sting, but please bear with me. To associate with the lowly is another way of Paul saying, don't be people of status. Now, we are in America. We are all about status here. For our kids, it's all about status. For teams, we want the first team on the field, on the court. We do not want second team, especially if second team is not performing. Amen, somebody. Who was the brother who went to Georgia? You know what I mean. That's why you're yelling, right? Status has no place in the kingdom. There are no A-team Christians, no B-team Christians. There is no, well, I have more faith than you, so therefore I'm loved more than you. You can't find that anywhere in the scriptures. And I want to say this because normally this happens in Christian spaces. The pastor is not loved more than the rest of the people either. So his prayer doesn't reach God quicker than anyone else's prayer. In case, because we got Thanksgiving coming up, and people usually ask the pastors or Christian leaders to pray as if only their prayers can be heard, right? I mean, but it boils down to us just thinking, well, if you're at this level, in the church and in the corporate world, you are somebody. But just think of that kind of thinking, we would act and respond the same way the Greco-Roman world did when they saw Jesus. He's nobody. Just some little peasant from Nazareth. His dad's not even around. He's he's of no consequence to be respected. Instead, we associate with the lowly. Why? Because they look just like you in God's eyes. This is a means for us to find some common ground. This is a means for us to think like God. This is really playing into the renewing of your mind. Think how amazing Christ Fellowship and really the city of Atlanta would be if we started to think like God and not like man. If we started to take God's principles and God's ethics and say, this is what I'm going to live by, and I actually can live by it. If possible, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Revenge and justice don't equal. They don't meet out the same way that we think they do, right? I mean, I'm not from here, but I feel like every time I'm on 285 or 75, my life is in jeopardy. Because people just don't know how to drive, and when it rains, it's actually worse, right? But if someone cuts you off, if you're in the flesh, like I may have been a couple times, I want to cut them back off. I want to speed up and stare at them. Like, what does that do? What exactly am I trying to actually accomplish when I do that? At that point, I'm really just thinking about me. How can I get back and sort of show you out on the road? And people are crazy here. They will run you off the road. So that's probably not a wise thing to do. But to consider, the way that we seek justice might not be the way God wants us to. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So relationships are a two-way street. We know that, right? Everybody in here that's married can say amen. Loud or low, I don't want you to get in trouble. But just think, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, tells us, as much as it depends on us, to seek peace, to aim for peace with everybody, not just the household of faith, with everybody. In other words, if you're not in a peaceful relationship with somebody, it should be their fault. We don't walk around high and mighty, being haughty, thinking more of ourselves than we should. We're actually aiming for peace with everybody. And in light of what's going on in Atlanta and the world, this is a tall task for the church. Don't think God doesn't know that, but do know that God has equipped us to do this. So it's not, well, man, if they would just act right, if they would just say the right thing, if they wouldn't say those things, if they wouldn't wear those colors, then we could be at peace. Instead is, okay, has God not saved you and given you his Holy Spirit and he's given you life? I mean, this morning we can all read and repeat Lamentations 3:23. God's mercies are new every morning. And we didn't earn anything when we get those mercies. So now, therefore, we have everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness to now go obey what the word says. So if possible, live peaceably with all. Never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. You know, I find funny about 19 through 21 here as we get ready to close, is that normally as we're looking to avenge, we're actually searching for justice, but it's this warped way of justice. It's this justice that is based on our best conceived form of judgment. So for those of us who have kids, when our kids do certain things, we can contrive all sorts of punishments for our kids, right? It's actually worse when it comes to adults. We actually get real high and mighty. Like, how could they do this to me? I'm so-and-so. I go to so-and-so. Church, that is. But looking to avenge based on our ideal form of punishment is actually wicked. Why? Because mercy is God withholding deserved punishment. Now, everybody in here wants mercy. Nobody in here wants God's wrath. Like, there's no amount of great living that you did this past week that you would sign up and say, God, give me all the wrath I deserve this morning. And yet, that's the first thing we turn to if someone does something to us. So being renewed in our mind and thinking like God requires that we are being led by the Spirit. But it also means, again, I want to remind you this, we actually have the ability to obey this. We've been given the ability through the Holy Spirit. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. To the contrary, instead, here are the acts of mercy that we should be mindful to implement. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. Heart, stop. The way that we look at people panhandling has shaped us and maybe warped our thinking about feeding anybody. We just be honest for a second. If your enemy is hungry, that's not a panhandler, you can look through or past them like that. And that's not what God would call us to do. He would actually call us to feed this person, feed that family. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Not the stuff that you don't want. Remember, living in harmony, you would give them what you would want for yourself. So if you like Chick-fil-A on a Sunday and you're still waiting for the Lord to act, I'm just being honest here, you would give them a delicious lemonade. Consider this just for a second. The way that God wants his people to act is to be at peace with all men, live in harmony with them, and even if they become your enemy because they're persecuting you and you're still blessing them, you still give them something to eat and something to drink. Do you see how much is being required of us as God's people? And yet, this is a command. Not a suggestion. We sometimes read these things as if they are suggestions. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. You want to know how to conquer evil? How to overcome evil with good? You act in loving kindness. You act in loving kindness. Jesus has really given us all of this. He's mimicked this in many different scriptures that we could point to. But we can't leave out verse 20 of giving food, giving drink. Loving our enemies, loving people who are made in the same image that we are made. This helps us to overcome evil with good. And lastly, I'll just close with this. If you ever want to know if you're living with a renewed mind that allows you to obey the will of God, ask yourself this question. Did your actions for today honor God and conscience? Did your actions for today honor God and conscience? Saints, I want you to be encouraged. we are allowed to think more like God. Look more like his son. Lean on his Spirit. We're not without help to do any of this. In fact, we have the eternal triune Godhead helping us. This is something we can do. This is not impossible. But also know this. God wants us to look more like his son. So he's given us this ability to do this. This goes right along with the great things we're reading Romans 4 and Romans 5 and then jump to Romans 8. Don't forget Romans 12. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice and then be renewed in your thinking. Think like God. Be encouraged, saints. He has not returned yet, but when he does, no matter what, we will look like his son and we will be with him for eternity. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this truth. I pray that we could wake up tomorrow morning with this new checklist, mindful of all the ways that God has blessed us. Help us to keep that on our hearts and our minds. Help us to be encouraged and re-encouraged to speak these truths over us and to use it to encourage other people. For it is for your good, for your glory, that we pray. Amen.